Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
The Survivor Specialist, Phil and Will, are back, and today we are recapping episode number 9 of Survivor 49. Just had a little bit of a blindside there. Alex got duped a bit, and he was shocked. But then he says, I kind of felt like it was coming. That's what I get for playing both sides. How are you so obvious in playing both sides, Alex? We're going to dive into this gameplay. We're going to dive into the fact that Sage and Juwan and Sophie Segretti all ultimately elected to go along with the bottom three here and make this a 6-3 vote. Alex goes home. It wasn't unanimous, but Steven and Christina are the only two on the outs coming out of this vote, which I think is pretty big as we enter episode 10 next week. So a lot to dive into here. We had a person give up their reward for somebody else. We had this blind side. We have Rizzo kind of realizing where he can get the power back. We had no relationship between Sophie and Alex. Alex had no issue, or I mean, Sophie had no issue writing down Alex's name. And yeah, that's the episode. So where do you want to start, Will?
I think we have to start with Juwan and Sage's decision to not vote out Rizzo here and not flush the idol. Because now they've done this back-to-back weeks. And look, yes, last week it was a little funky. You had Savannah popping up with maybe an advantage. You had people that were tossing out your name, and I don't know, maybe they don't have the vote. They don't have enough votes that they're confident in Sophie and MC to pull off a split or a backup plan, because, you know, they were down to so few numbers. You only had 5 people that were eligible, and Savannah had immunity and she joined in. So it was like, maybe not the best time to pull off a split and flush an idol. Here seemed like they could probably get away with it clean. So why didn't they? I think that's where I would like to start.
I don't know. Okay, so here's, I got two responses to this. One, I don't know if they realize how in Sophie Bellarity truly is, because they've only seen Sophie Bellarity vote with Rizzo and Savannah one time, and that happened at Final 11. So I don't know if they realize how in she is and realize how tight of a three that is. The second answer is, I think that Sage and Juwan are saying, if we go along with this, we're getting to Final 6, Final 5, whatever. We can make our move later. I feel that they both are thinking they have a really good shot at sitting at Final 5, no matter which side comes out with power here, which I agree with. But if you go with the Sophie, Savannah, Rizzo side, you are toast. And you're at the position right now where you can't do the Will Wall Millennials versus Gen X plan of, we'll go one side this week, one side the next week, one side this week, one side the next week. Because right now you're running out of opportunities to take out the one side that has all the ammo. Now, granted, they don't know about the extra vote and they don't know about the knowledge is power. So all they know about is the idol. If you think about it from their perspective, and I know it's hard for us as viewers sometimes because we know everything, but when you think about it from their perspective, if all they're worried about is an idol, you're at Final 9, you get through this vote, even if Rizzo plays his idol correctly next week, you still would be going into Final 7 with a 4-3 advantage, and you'd be able to choose your side of, do I want to go with Savannah and Rizzo, or do I want to go with whoever else is left in the game? So it's tough. I think it was the wrong move probably, but I understand this move more than I understood last week's move.
Oh, interesting. So I would say the opposite. And I thought you were going to come on here and being like very, you know, gung-ho about, I cannot believe they let Rizzo get away with it again and they didn't put the votes on him. You have to flush the idol. What are these people doing? They didn't do it last week. Why aren't they? I thought you were going to come in hot because you were so hot on them last week. And I at least, and I already brought it up earlier here, I thought last week there was enough else going on with the really limited amount of people, with a mysterious Savannah popping up with potentially an advantage. And there's just too many unknowns last week where you couldn't have really pulled together a clean split, where I just don't think that was the case this week, especially when you are dealing with an alliance of three. And look, they, I don't know, I feel like at this point they do kind of have to figure Sophie's in there. I know they keep saying Savannah and Rizzo, but look, Sophie was not included on that plan. She was on the bottom with them after that vote at Final 11. So I think you could look and say, like, okay, Savannah wins immunity. Why don't we just split it on Sophie? I mean, Sophie was the decoy anyway. Why don't we just use that same plan you had? And I know that Sophie was a part of the split vote. I know that that was definitely part of the plan. They were going to go, you know, whatever, 3 and 4. But maybe you go...
It was 3-3-3, yeah.
It was 3-3-3. Yeah, I guess. But you could it's still Final 9, so you could still do that.
Well, like, you see, and again, we as an audience are sitting here going, well, there's the extra vote. They don't know about the extra vote, right? So they don't
know. No, I know there's no extra.
It could be a 4-3-3. So it's a 3-3-3.
I'm saying they have six people here. They can split. I mean, look, good thing they didn't, because they, if they do split 3-3-3 and that plan gets out to our bottom feeders over here, they have the extra vote and they can, you know, upend it with putting four votes on somebody. But I don't know. It seemed that, like, when Savannah was off the table, they completely threw out their plan. And that this would have been a better week to go after. And now I'm just surprised, Phil, that you are so okay with this after last week. I do think Sophie, fully Sophie, Yellow Sophie, brought up an interesting point at Tribal that's worth talking about, where she said, you know, we know where the idol is. We know that Rizzo has it. Sometimes it's better to play with the devil you know than the devil you don't know. And I'm not sure that's the right way to think about it, but I think it's worth talking about, because there is this part of me that goes, okay, so Rizzo has this idol. You know he has this idol. If you vote Rizzo and he plays it correctly, and it seems like at this point Rizzo knows when to play it and maybe when not. I mean, we haven't seen him play it successfully, but man, three times in a row is like pretty nuts to just hold on to this thing.
Makes sense he's on 50 at this point. Jeff loves.
Yeah, he's got some sort of read where he can either read people's faces or someone is telling him that he really trusts. Maybe we're not getting the full end of it. Like, he knows. But like, if you put votes onto Rizzo and he plays the idol successfully, you just gave Rizzo like a huge moment for the jury, a game-defining post-merge moment. Successful idol plays don't happen as often as people think. For someone who's already been labeled as like a strategic successful player so far in this game, and why do you want to give him that moment where you can kind of just sit on it, maybe let it expire, or maybe wait till you have the numbers to split a vote cleanly? Or even if he does play this and he plays it successfully, or if he even plays it unsuccessfully, it goes back into hiding. Then you don't know who has it. And could Rizzo get it again, potentially? Yeah. Could Savannah get it? Yeah. And then maybe you're giving them more power and you're still not getting your primary target out because you put all your votes onto Rizzo. And then maybe your ally finds it. Like, if you're still at one of eight out there, what if I'm with Phil and Phil, you end up finding the idol and we're teamed up, we're allies, and then you get to play it, you get your moment, and now we're in Final Three and Phil beats me because you got to play the idol. So I think there is this like weird thing they're doing with Rizzo's idol where they're like, let's not give anybody the moment and let's not give anyone else another secret. Like, why would we put another unknown into the game? And again, I'm still thinking here the correct move: make Rizzo play that thing. I mean, if you don't put votes on him and he doesn't play it, guess what? You're just delaying the inevitable. Like, eventually, you're going to have to get rid of it unless you let him get all the way to Final Five. And do you really want Rizzo all the way at Final Five? Probably not. Final Five with an idol, that is. So I think it's still wrong, but I don't know. I'd toss some of those thoughts out to you, Phil.
Here's where I think we might be looking at this wrong. We're talking about Juwan and Sage, where they fit into this. I actually think Sophie Segretti is more important to the outcome of this vote than Juwan or Sage. I think when Sophie came back and was still in the game and she got the reaction she did, she realized nobody has me in their long-term plans. And who played it best with her? Savannah and Soph. Those two played it best with her to the point where I think Sophie Segretti was so locked in with this group of three that you couldn't do a 3-3-3 split, because I think she was going to be a four-person vote. Like, I think she was voting with them to make it four people. She was not going to be a part of the split no matter what. So Juwan and Sage found themselves in a position of, do we want to go and make this move and have it be a 5-4? Because then we'd have to go and make it a 5-4 vote for this to work. You can't go 4-3-2, you lose. So you'd have to go 5-4, and you make that move and Rizzo plays his idol. Now the numbers are even 4-4, and you don't have the trust with Rizzo, Savannah, Sophie, or Sov, and you're done.
Yeah, but Alex still goes home. And I think that's the part to me where it's like, okay, we got a confessional from Juwan tonight saying this much. Like, Juwan, or he's like, Alex needs to go. Rizzo has an idol. He definitely needs to go. Which one needs to go first? That's the question. And when you're in a scenario like that and you know your opposition, you know where Rizzo's vote's going, you know where Savannah's vote's going, you, I guess, now, if depends on how clued in they are, where the two Sophies' votes are, with they with them, or where are they going, you know at least two votes are going to Alex, potentially more. Take your shot at Rizzo. If it doesn't work, if he plays his idol, guess what? Rizzo's idol's out of the game, and then Alex goes home, and guess what? What did Juwan tell to the audience? Exactly. They're both dangerous. They both need to go. Now you've got one of your targets out in Alex, and now you've weakened Rizzo because he no longer has his idol. So still, like, I'm trying to make as many counterpoints as I can for why they keep letting him go through. I think another one, Phil, we haven't really brought up is this a situation like 48 or 41? And I say that in terms of how threatening are they viewing the person that we keep saying they should vote out. We saw this in 41 with Xander, where Xander, we were like, wow, balls of steel, never played it. Good for him. That guy's got stones. He goes into final three and he does not get a single vote at final tribal council. How threatening was he? We're watching him. He seems threatening. He's good at challenges. He's social. He's holding on to his idol. He's doing all these things correctly. Doesn't get a single jury vote. I don't think that's happening here with Rizzo. But we did see this last season with Joe and Eva, and especially Joe being this king, this top dog. And then we find out after the season, it's like, well, Joe was a go. Everyone wanted to take him to the end. And so we're like yelling at the TV, why aren't you taking the shot? Why aren't you taking the shot? Well, it's like, maybe the shot doesn't need to be taken. Now, I don't think that's happening here with Rizzo. I think this is a different level of player, but at least that's another possibility.
I think also here's how I look at this situation. I feel like I'm finding the answer as you're kind of talking through it. If you're Juwan and Sage and you vote with Christina and Steven and who's the other person and Alex, and you make it a 5-4 and Rizzo goes home. Okay. Yeah. You come back, you have the numbers, everything's great, whatever. You're in a good spot. But if you make that 5-4 and Rizzo plays his idol, now you come back to camp and you have two people who are willing to work with you. Yeah, Alex still went home, but you have two people willing to work with you. Whereas in this situation, you keep all of your avenues open because Steven is willing to work with Juwan and Sage still. Him and Juwan are tight, and I'm sure they're going to have a conversation after of why we did it this way. And I think
weren't Steven and Christina in on the plan? They voted Soph as a backup, right?
Yeah, but they were in on the plan to make it 3-3-3. They thought Rizzo was going home here.
Right, that's true.
They thought Rizzo was going home. So what I'm saying is you're going to get – you have Juwan and Sage coming out of this vote where they can play with anybody left in the game. If you take your shot and miss and Rizzo does play as idol, you can't – you've now given up all power. And look, in Survivor, and I think Rizzo's proving it this season, to win this game, there's one moment where you got to sit there and you got to say – doesn't matter. This is my winner move. Either I'm winning the game or I'm going home this week or next week, but I have to take the shot now. I always use Todd as the example because Todd with the James two idols back in China is probably the best example of that. He knows he's going home if James plays an idol, but he knew that if he makes that move, he's going to win the game of Survivor. And I feel like that's the moment here with Sage and Juwan. If they make the move tonight and it works, they probably are in the driver's seat to win this game if Rizzo goes home, right? If Rizzo plays his idol, though, they're in an awful spot after this. And if you're doing risk assessment here, if you look at where the situation takes you and Rizzo doesn't play his idol and Rizzo goes home, now you have Savannah, Sophie, and Soph, who are all really, really desperate, who could go to somebody else and say, Juwan and Sage are going to win this game. Are you really going to let them win this game? And if you're Juwan and Sage, you're two going up against a potential three, no matter what situation you get to at final five. So that's where I think there's a lot more to this. And that's why this week's didn't piss me off as much as last week's, because last week's was the moment to take Rizzo out. You flush the idol. Everybody, you knew you weren't going to be the stray vote. It's a smaller tribal, so there's some people who are going to get the information as hearsay. you can make your moment happen. You can make your mark there. Here, I think that the risk actually probably doesn't outweigh the reward in this situation. And Juwan and Sage can go with Uli, or they can go with the Hinas who have just been left out.
I feel like you're disproving your point with the Todd, like, historical.
Well, I'm saying that if they made the move tonight, they probably win the game.
Which is what the goal, like, you're always about make the move that gives you the best chance to win, not the best move to get you the farthest in the game and play the safest. Like, you're gonna have to take some risk. And I think tonight was that risk. And I think tonight was when they should have got, I mean, not to be totally results-based. I don't know how often we can
that's say all you are anymore.
Results-based on this podcast.
I call Will out, everybody. That's nasty. I know. I'm gross. Anyway,
you can always call me out.
Did you see that comment? Did you see the defender of all things Will?
No, I didn't. But Phil is absolutely free to call me out whenever he wants. Any defenders, I absolutely appreciate it. But you know, that's what a podcast is for, where we might have differing opinions and we'll call each other out and we'll debate through them. But that's why it's, you know, should be fun to listen to. And that's why you're tuning in. So, yeah, call me out whenever you want. This is clearly results based. But guess what? He didn't play the idol. Like, Rizgod did not play it. So, like, if you're looking at it from do the JT move in Heroes vs. Villains, because that's how you're going to get the numbers, and you didn't know of all the information, or in Game Changers, you bring up JT all the time. Now you're bringing up Todd. It's like, do the thing, take the risk. Like, this was it to me. Like, this, because if Rizzo plays his idol, it is not that bad as you're painting it, Phil. And it's not like you're going home. A lot of these other moves, your point, you were like, Todd's like, I will go home if this doesn't work, which is that's a real risk, and that's a real winning move. This, not only are you not the one going home, it's another person that you don't trust and that you're not working with and that you think is a threat to win the game is going home. And then it also, like, I think at this point, everyone, it's so public that Rizzo has an idol, and it's been talked about so much. It's been, I don't know, how many weeks in a row? I mean, Rizzo pulled it out at the Final 11.
Yeah, tribal. It's been 2 weeks where he's sat
And he's made it public. Jeff has talked about it. Juwan and Sage have been, you know, not super clear that they are against Savannah and Rizzo. But look, you're playing a game, and in this era of Survivor, this modern era of gamesmanship, I don't know if Savannah and Rizzo are going to be like, oh my God, you lied to me, trust broken, never talking to you, never working with you. It's like, dude, Rizzo, you took the idol out and showed everybody at the Merge Tribal Council we're playing a game for $1 million. I just don't know if I don't know if they will feel as burned as you're making it out to be. I just don't know if the downside is all that bad here.
Now let's look really long-term and let's talk about a point that you brought up earlier. You prevent Rizzo from being able to make a move here, right?
That might be it.
If you're Juwan and Sage and you look at how this game is going, let's say you get to Final Five and let's say you can't get rid of Sov, you can't get rid of Savannah, and you can't get rid of Rizzo. If you're Juwan and Sage, you would be thinking Rizzo would want to go to Final Three with you. No, Sophie's got the best story out there. And Savannah right now, winning the challenges, being kind of this person who's constantly scraping by, she's always on the bottom. You would think you'd want to go with Juwan and Sage. They played very similar games, and that's that. So maybe Juwan and Sage are thinking, we can get to the Final Three with Rizzo. Like, we can sit at the end with Rizzo. So why not just play this game and try to get there with Rizzo? We also know Steven's willing to go to the end with us. We also know that Christina suddenly had a Final Three with MC. Okay, sure, whatever. But, you know, we see these things, and maybe Juwan and Sage are saying, let's not give Rizzo his moment. Let's just keep letting this go by. And maybe they're hoping that Rizzo is going to realize the people he's aligned with are the two people he probably cannot beat right now. And that's what they're going to hope that then they go to the end with Rizzo and then they can beat Rizzo, because Rizzo really has no story. Yeah, he sat on his idol, never played it, but that was kind of Eva's story in 48 and she lost.
Right. And I think that's maybe where the bad move is. It's just thinking that you can beat Rizzo here. And again, maybe 50's having, I think 50's drawn blood now three episodes in a row.
It has.
When Rizzo keeps being the decoy boot, it's like, really, I mean, it's like, I think we would be looking at this post-merge in a whole other light and being like, this is one of the best starts to a post-merge we've ever seen in a new era season. if we didn't have the knowledge of who's going on to Survivor 50. Like, it really is becoming that. Although tonight I will say, like, if Rizzo, I think there was at least suspense in, like, will Rizzo play as idol or not? Like, I thought there is a real world in which he would play as idol. I thought there was a world in which he would get enough votes and have it be a successful idol play. That was on the table. And honestly, we're deep enough in the season where, like, if he doesn't play it and goes home with an idol in his pocket, and Jeff's like, we loved Rizgod, get him back. He had done, I think, at this point, we're hitting that, like, threshold of doing enough. So I think perhaps maybe last episode that 50 can really kill suspense. At least there was still a little bit here, but that is kind of lingering.
I agree with that, but I agree with what you're saying, where if he would have went tonight, I wouldn't have been surprised they asked him back for 50, because for him to sit on an idol twice and have it work and then say, I got to go one more, because if I get through this one, he explains it so well in his confessional, where he says, if I get through this vote with my idol and with Savannah's extra vote, we are taking control of the game at final eight. For him to say that, if he doesn't get through this, Jeff sits there and says he went for it. I mean, there's a reason why JT's back on Game Changers after making the air quotes worst move ever on Heroes versus Villains. There's a reason that he is back. It's because he's playing to win the game. And I think Jawan and Sage, what's very interesting about Jawan and Sage right now is, I think they're playing to win the game, but they're playing safe to try to win the game. Whereas Rizzo is saying, I'm taking Hail Mary. I'm throwing Hail Mary after Hail Mary. One of these is going to stick. And I'm just going to keep on battling until I can get the power. And it feels like he's more willing to be aggressive and make the move that has a 95% chance maybe of not working. Whereas Jawan and Sage want to make the move that has a 95% chance of working. And so I think that Jawan and Sage are still playing a game that makes sense to win, but that's 2 weeks in a row now where you look, I'm not defending their move saying that they absolutely made the right one. I just think it's 2 weeks in a row now where you're sitting there going, did they make the right move? I don't know. If they go on to win, then we look back at this and we say, maybe they did do a great job. They did awesome. They did exactly what they need to. It's exactly what happened with Kyle last season when people kept saying, Joe or Eva are going to win. Joe or Eva are going to win. And you and I are sitting here going, Joe's not winning this game.
There's no way Joe's
no way. We gave him a 0% chance for so long.
Blake said 97%
chance. 97.6 or something like that. And then Kyle goes on to win. And everybody who said Kyle was an idiot, you were actually wrong the entire time, and Kyle played a perfect game of Survivor because he won. So I can critique Jawan and Sage right now, but, you know, being that we're in the NFL season and I'm a Lions fan, it's like the Lions are 6-4 and on the outside looking into the playoffs right now. Everybody's questioning every decision they've ever made as a franchise. There's still 8 weeks left. You know, there's plenty of time left in this Survivor season for all of this mid-season conversation to mean nothing. Do I think Jawan and Sage have missed opportunities? Absolutely. I think for sure. But I'm coming out of this week going, maybe Alex was a bigger threat, not necessarily to win, but to just ruin the game, because he was clearly playing so aggressively both sides that it was obvious to all eight other people out there. And Sophie Bellarity put up zero fight to try to keep him in this game.
Yeah, and there's something odd going. I don't know if we want to totally abandon the topic, and I don't know if we finished it, just talking about this decision of Jawan and Sage's. But, like, how much credit the show gave to Rizzo for throwing Alex under the big, what did you say, like a big blue bus? Did he say the color of the bus, or am I just imagining that? There's some big bus.
I don't know.
And there's a whole montage of Rizzo going around and just, you know, saying, making up lies about Alex. And when I'm watching this, like, these are completely made up. But then at the end of the episode, Alex is like, yeah, I got caught playing both sides. Everyone's like, yeah, we know you were. We caught you. We talk. He's like, you guys talk to each other? What? And it was like this very understood thing with all nine players sitting there being like, yeah, Alex was talking, you know, basically BS to both people just to stay in the middle. But the show gave all the credit earlier to Rizzo.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That felt a little like, well, which one is it? Did Rizzo put the target onto Alex, or did everyone come to this conclusion on their own and accept it? It's probably a combination of both.
But yeah, I think it's a bit of
both. The credit that Rizzo was given for that was very intentional.
Yeah. I can agree with that. I think that Rizzo for sure got credit for what took place tonight. My concern with Rizzo is, and let me know if you feel this way too. Rizzo gets to final three. He's sitting next to Savannah and Sophie, or Savannah and Juwan, or Savannah and Sage, or Sophie and Juwan, some mix of that group of five. Even Steven, potentially Steven gets in there. I got some things. James Jones was texting me, and I got some things I want to say about Steven tonight too. I can't forget that. Don't let me forget.
But Steven had a very big episode. We'll definitely talk about Steven.
And we will dive into that. But let's say you're Rizzo. Rizzo gets to the end. And it's exactly what you're talking about here. Rizzo was given the credit for this move to the audience. Do the players feel the same way? Because to me, it feels like a lot of what Rizzo is doing and a lot of the narration, a lot of the game moves, a lot of everything he's doing is happening in the confessionals. In terms of what's actually happening on the island, he's playing a very good social game. There is no doubt about that. But is he playing strong enough of a game and letting it be known to the players what he's actually pulling off right now? Other than the people in his alliance, because to us, we know what Rizzo's doing. We see what he's willing to risk and how he's navigating this game. But do Steven and Christina and Juwan and Sage see that? I don't think they do.
Yeah, it could be. I don't think they do because no one sees it.
Yeah.
Or it could be they don't see it and everyone else sees it.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we're having like, is we're kind of sitting here as an audience again, 50, rear in its damn head, having influence as we view this season. I don't know. I feel like as an audience right now, someone watching the show, it's almost like if Rizzo gets to the end, he's winning. And it doesn't feel as if Juwan and Sage are operating under that at all.
That's interesting. I'm not totally sold on that. The one I feel like is winning if they get to the end is Sophie. That's the only one I feel like she is locked in. If she gets to the end, she wins. I don't necessarily feel that way about Rizzo. Isn't at the Joe level of casual fans or DeLulu over him about to win. But I think Rizzo is starting to fall more into the Joe category for me than he is in the actual contender category for me. And that doesn't, I think he's playing an amazing game. I just think he might, his fatal flaw in this season might be taking the wrong person with him to the end. He does all this great stuff, but at the end of the day, somebody he sits next to just has a story that resonates a little bit better. Kenzie versus Charlie is a great example of this, right? Sure. I think that could be what Rizzo's working his way.
Charlie's on 50.
Is Kenzie on 50? I don't think Kenzie would have gone if they offered her $3 million. Kenzie's like, screw that. I'm not doing shit. So yeah, I think there's a lot to this though. And I know, look, I know last week I read the comments and stuff on all of our videos and some are nasty and some are nice and whatever. I don't really care. I'm going to be nasty back if you're nasty to me. I mean, that's just how I am as a human. But I know that last week it was a lot of Phil's complaining again about this. I was complaining about the production stuff. The gameplay stuff I love talking about. And I think it's fascinating. I think tonight's episode, there's nothing to be heated about. Tonight's episode was what Survivor's supposed to be. One man, one woman win immunity. That's fine. That's a little tweak. It's not just one person winning. But I'm okay with this, especially when the challenge is very favorable towards women. This is a challenge with like the hips and the hip flexors that is going to be more beneficial towards women, especially the way they had them all sitting, which we're going to talk about, I guess. But like, this was very favorable towards if you were shorter because you don't have to bend your hips and ruin your hip flexors. But I feel like this is what I wanted. And I'll talk about the gameplay all day. And yeah, there's going to be moves I agree with, moves I disagree with. But I feel like tonight I'm excited about the decisions that are being made because I feel like for the first time in a long time, because 48 didn't have this and 46 didn't have this, 47 had a little bit. But I feel like I'm putting myself into a position where I'm asking, what would I do in Juwan's situation? What would I do in Rizzo's situation? And I think that is a little bit of a credit to the editors, because even though I had no idea that Christina and MC had a final three deal, that feels like nonsense. I do feel like I really know each of these people. And so I feel like I know what they need to do to win. And so I can sit there and say, what would I be doing in their situation? And in the Juwan and Sage situation, I don't know. I feel like I lean 60-40 trying to get Rizzo out of the game, but I don't think it was a bad move. And I think that's fun. I think that's fun to talk about. That's what the best stuff is, when there's actual strategy going on that can be disagreed upon, but isn't like moronic.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I enjoy talking about, you know, the format of the show and the production decisions. I find that stuff fascinating, almost as much as, you know, just that's from a game design perspective. That's super what I'm into. But the game playing is, yeah, equally, if not more fun to talk about. And this one here, I think tonight, like, we really haven't boiled down what was the correct. I mean, look, you could say the correct move was to put votes on a Rizzo because he ended up not playing his idol, but that's not totally fair. You have to weigh the risk versus reward. He might play it, and then if he does play it, you're giving him all that credit. But then I don't know. I'm still in camp vote for Rizzo, and maybe we need to like settle this, Phil, and like put actually make a take here or have a stance.
We're only 30 minutes in.
Yeah, we talked about it for so long that I think you have to do it. And if he ends up playing it and you give him that move, sure, but then everyone's aware of it and you're at final eight. Like, is Rizzo, you really not be able to get Rizzo out down the line? Like, even Sophie and Savannah might be like, do you really want to sit then with Rizzo now that he's played an idol? Like, I don't even know if they would want to after a successful idol play. And then, like I said, the vote bounces on to Alex, who you also want out of the game. So to me, this was a misplay.
I think for me, what it comes down to is I think that Sophie Segretti was never going to vote with the other five people who wanted to split. So that would have been the six. I don't think she was ever going to do it. So I think Sage and Jawan made a business decision here. And they said, if Sophie's not going to get on board, we're going to go this route and we're going to look at Sophie or somebody else next episode. So
I think even if it is Sophie Segretti, and that's yellow Sophie that you keep mentioning, right? I don't know.
Yeah, Bellarity is blue.
God, those even last names.
Did you hear today that they called Sophie Soph when she's not the one who's being
called Soph? There was a confessional from Savannah. I don't know if you heard it. Is that what you're talking about? Where you can clearly tell that Savannah said Sophie in the interview, but you can tell that the audio was clipped right at
Sophie.
No, it just said, says Soph, but you can tell that she's fully said Sophie and they just cut the audio from it, which is kind of funny.
See, this is a totally incorrect take by Omer Holder here. Phil, for me, my winner pick made huge blunders and I'm offering bail for bad gameplay. Totally incorrect. You clearly did not listen to what I just said.
I kind of like this take. Yeah. Yeah.
You think that's what I did, Will? You think that's what I just did?
I don't think that's what you did because you were so hard on Jawan last week.
Yeah.
Here, I think, is the worst. I think last week there were complications. Small tribe. You're not sure where everyone's at. Potential advantage. This is like, this to me, almost slam dunk worthy, I might even say, Phil.
No,
that you got put. If you think they have Sophie, both Sophies, why don't you do 5-4 on Rizzo? If he plays his idol, great. Alex goes home. No sweat off your back. You're fine.
Now, Will, did Will just totally freeze mute? Will, you just muted and froze. Will just muted himself. That's how bad his take was. For the person who says I attacked Will last week, here it is again. I'm attacking him. His take was so bad, he muted himself.
So
he's back.
Alex goes home. Rizzo now has this huge threat level. Idol gets rehidden. You might find it. Your alliance might find it. You're in a way better spot than you are leaving Rizzo in the game with an idol.
Unless your plan is to go to the end with Rizzo.
Which I also think is not smart.
We all thought this. A lot of people thought that with Eva and Joe last year. So who knows?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't one of those people.
Well, we weren't, but you know, I'm just saying. I think what we've come to the conclusion of is we're going to know whether this was the right move or not probably next week. We're not going to know now. I just don't think we're going to get there. Let's talk about other stuff from this episode. So they come back from tribal and everybody's mad that Sophie's there and makes it abundantly clear that they're upset that Sophie's there and they can't believe MC is gone and Sophie's still there. Sophie Segretti takes this very personally, which I appreciate. I appreciate that Sophie Segretti is playing this game, and what we've heard from her is like, people keep on not liking, like whenever they don't like me, I'm going to be mad and I'm going to go at them a little bit. So Sophie decides, wait, none of these people want to play with me. I got to find a different home. what is up with the poker faces of everybody coming back? Why could they not keep it together and just be like, oh my God, I can't believe it was MC, but Sophie, I'm so glad you're here. Why was that so hard for everybody?
Yeah, I mean, was it? I thought some of the shock might be, look, I get their shock that MC went home. Maybe the poker face is bad, but I don't even think it's all in the face. Like, just explain, I can't believe Rizzo's here. Like, that should be the surprising thing. And for them to be all like, oh, I can't believe Sophie's here. Why? I don't even know why they're saying that or giving that information away. I will say, Phil, not for nothing.
Ooh.
I know you did not like last week how we split or merged and then only we split into two and then only one tribe goes to tribal council. I don't know if we've seen something quite like this. And hey, I'm sure we have. It's just not so often where you have a merged tribe and then half the people come back. And it is kind of like eerie. It's night. They can't see each other's faces. You're waiting for the voice. And it is the reveal there is like way more. It's way better than when it's at a challenge. At a challenge, they kind of, I don't know, sometimes already know, or they play like when they're on the all in the water on the deck. And just like you're getting your first look and they look over, they go, oh my God. It's like they've been standing there for 10 minutes. Everyone gets off the boat and getting the shot ready. There was something really nice about this kind of mysterious who's in, who's out. I don't know why they let it die. I think that's just natural. Like it's, and I think that's what Sophie kept saying. Like, I have evidence. Like I have receipts now. This is proof. Like those were honest reactions. They would have hidden it if they could. And clearly they didn't do a good enough job. So yeah, no, I like that fired Sophie up. I like that she was a free agent. I mean, my just sucks with Sophie how little we saw of her in the premier. She seems to be a pretty important player. And I mean, we keep bringing her up in this vote. You know, where was she? I mean, I know she didn't go to tribal council, but still.
15. So Sophie Segretti, 15 confessionals in the last three episodes. She has 22 total for the season. So we're 9 episodes in. She has 15 in the last three episodes. She had 7 in the first 6. She's been important to the storyline too. Like she's been important to what's happening in the post-merge. And honestly, I feel like she's pretty damn entertaining. A lot of times when these people get overshadowed, like Will's gone. We just watched Philippines for Every Season Matters. And when we were watching Philippines for Every Season Matters, when you watch Carter, you say, okay, Carter is not clicking on this TV. There is nothing that Carter is saying that is popping on my screen. It's just not working. And so I would get when he was getting overshadowed and then he got some food and then he was able to talk and then he was able to do things. Will's back. I don't know what the hell he's
doing. I just had to fix my audio and it wouldn't let me do it while I was
there. Okay. Well,
keep ranting.
I'm talking about Carter and I'm saying how Carter made sense in Philippines. He wasn't clicking. You hear Chelsea talk and go silent and you say, okay, this isn't great. She's not clicking. It makes Zoe from Marquesas as early as that. There's people that just don't, that make sense when they're getting overshadowed. I listen to Sophie and I say, no, every time she's talking, I'm into it. I am captivated by what she is saying. So I don't know why she was so disregarded early on in the season, even if her tribe was winning, because Steven wasn't. Although, and this gets to my point now, James Jones was bringing up, he's saying, think about the things that Steven was saying tonight. When he had that thing about the space stuff at the immunity challenge, you know who else had that in an immunity challenge they won? It was Gabler. And he was talking about all the veterans that he was playing for in the minute he was going to hold on. And there was
thought was Christian Hubicki.
That too, I don't know. Gabler was in there. And then James said something else about chickens or something like that. That made sense. So either way, I'm like, oh, is Steven potentially winning? But Steven's getting all these confessionals when he's not going to tribal either. And you know, I'm not saying Steven's not interesting, but I feel like Sophie's had bite these last couple.
Well, weeks. That's what I was just going to say. I think Sophie, from what we've seen of her post-merge, she's actually really funny. And her analogy, I am so over the analogies. I don't know how many times we have to say it. I think the internet has globally, like, has everyone decided that? I know I'm not as online as you are, but the analogies at Tribal Council pretty much have to stop. But when they are going, I think Sophie's been like the best at it in maybe a long time. I think last week she had the one about like, you know, your mom picking you up from school and she's the last one. And then, oh, Juwan, are you my mom? Or like, she's had some really funny, quippy one-liners that have actually been funny and they've made sense and been relevant to what they're trying to like, you know, connect. And so many of these analogies are pretty bad. But yeah, we can move on to Steven if you want.
Yeah, I think that Steven, he's been getting a lot of stuff, and tonight he tells Sage about Christina's idol. And Sage says, I won't even tell Juwan. And Steven's not telling Juwan. So Steven feels, he says, to get further in this game, I feel like I need to be closer to Sage. Even though we had seen Steven and Juwan kind of being the alliance here. So now it's Sage all of a sudden that he's more invested in. What did you think about this? Is this going to come back to bite him in any way? Or do you think Sage really is going to keep her mouth shut about this?
I think it's not even so much about, like, I don't know. Part of me feels like Christina's idol isn't that important. Like, it's not, at least it's not important until Sophie steals it with knowledge is power. Like, I don't know if I feel as if Christina is in a threatening of enough position to be required to play her idol. I feel like she will hold on to it if she can. So maybe it becomes important when people start talking about it, knowing about it. Maybe this is the seed planted for that. Phil, I know you posited that Alex would be the one to maybe relay that information to Sophie. Clearly that didn't happen, or if it did happen, we weren't shown it, mm-hmm. which would be kind of suspicious.
Which would be crazy.
Which would be nuts. So, like, I think we're safe to assume that that didn't go down. So I don't know. And then we just talked about the vote for like 35 minutes. And how many times did we reference Juwan and Sage? How many times? Like 30?
It was a lot.
How many times did we say Juwan, Sage, and Steven? Or how many times did we say the bottoms up a lot?
Never. Because it's a stupid name.
I don't hate the name. The name doesn't bother me, but clearly we just both watched the episode. The way the story was told tonight about the vote and about which way this vote was going was not up to the bottoms up alliance. Steven was left out of this. It was very much, he was not included. And so I'm almost wondering more. It's not like, what's Sage going to do? It's almost like, what's Steven going to do? How is Steven going to feel about being like, I finally have decided these are the people I want to play with. I love my bottoms up crew. I'm going to keep Christina close to me. I'm going to keep Alex close to me because I've gotten along with them. I haven't had to go to tribal. I've got good social bonds. You know what? Throw Sophie in there too, even though I'm going to have a super shocked face when she gets back from tribal council. Throw her in there too. I'll work with her. I think he's going to feel pretty burned by this.
Here's my question, though. Does it matter that he's going to feel burned? Where does he go? If he feels burned by the bottoms up alliance, who does he go to? He can't go to Savannah, Rizzo, Sophie, and Sophie because he's five then. Do you want to be fifth there? No, you have to. He really doesn't have a choice but to go back to Juwan and Sage and say, what the hell happened? And they better have a good alibi. But he doesn't. He can be as mad as he wants. Be super mad. Be super bitter. You're going to go home in eighth or seventh then. And if you turn them off even further, they're just going to say, okay, Steven, like, if you're that mad at us, you're eighth. Bye.
I don't know. I feel like there's a world where, okay, and I always say this, when you get burned by somebody, the number one, this is always like when you look at the trait of like great survivor players, they can work with anyone at any time and they can put the past behind them. Like, that's ultimate good thinking. Like, I think everyone can agree that's like a very good trait of being a good survivor player. Mm-hmm. I hope Steven does that. I hope he doesn't feel burned. But at some point, if Juwan and Sage are the ones voting the majority the whole time and being the center of this power, like, at some point, someone's going to want to make a move against them. And Steven now has way more, I think, willingness to be like, you know what? Maybe I'm going to take a shot at the people who betrayed me, because now the people who betrayed me, the people I was supposed to be my bottoms up alliance with, now they're the top dogs. Now they're front running. And now if I can get one of their pelts and say I made that move and that they betrayed me, so I came back and took them out of this game, maybe that rises my chance of winning when I'm sitting in front of a jury. Mm-hmm. And I think Steven, from what we saw tonight, I mean, he's somebody, Phil. We've been tracking Steven this whole season as he has gotten a confessional in every episode that this is your new era theory, or at least your theory after Erica won, that they're going to go out of their way to make sure that the winner is visible in every episode of the show. That's still true. And we're seeing a lot from him. And we got a lot of character from him tonight. This isn't all gameplay. This is very Steven-centric, just who he is as a person.
Ace or kangaroo?
I hated that. I got to say.
But it's what they
left
in.
I'm sorry, Steven. I actually have really enjoyed him. But that was. I don't want any analogies. So if you offer to, and then you can't deliver. If he had delivered a great kangaroo analogy, that would have been amazing. I do have a kangaroo analogy, though, if you do want to hear it.
I mean, that's why we're here. Also,
It's an analogy. It's more of a parable. Before
Will does this, like the video and subscribe. Otherwise, Will is not going to give the kangaroo analogy. You have to like this video to get Will to.
Or are you worried once I give the kangaroo analogy that everyone is going to unsubscribe and not going to like the video? Yeah. So it's like, get the likes in now before you turn everybody off. I don't even know if it's an analogy. I bet there is a Survivor connection here. But this is from a great movie that I watched recently, Arrival. Have you seen Arrival?
Like 6 times.
Oh, so then you know my story. You know the parable. This is when Amy Adams' character is describing like the problem with language and how tricky and how careful you have to be when encountering another being where you don't share any language. And she tells a story about these explorers from, I think, Britain or India somewhere. They were explorers, foreign people landing in Australia, and they come across the Aborigines, and someone points out at a kangaroo and says, "What is that thing?" And the Aborigines go, "Kangaroo." And that's not what kangaroo meant, but then that's what they started calling it. The British people, the explorers, start calling it kangaroo. But later they find out kangaroo means what do you mean? Or like, I can't understand you. Because he says, "What is that?" And they go, "Kangaroo?" And they go, "Oh." And so maybe on Survivor, when we're really playing, we don't really understand each other's languages because we're operating with different information. I don't know. Maybe there's something.
I like that. And here's Zach saying, Will said it would have been great with a kangaroo analogy. He is results-based. Yeah, he is results-based. It's brutal.
If it was a good kangaroo analogy, that definitely saves the cringiness of like kangaroo or space. And then Jeff says kangaroo. Oh. If you can deliver on that, it'd be way better.
Will, so I texted you and Blake in our group chat during that episode, and Blake never answered. But when that kangaroo analogy was mentioned, how you could hear Blake going, "Oh my God."
I think like, you could hear a groan from the internet. Like,
"Oh my God, holy man." Yeah, Blake's going to be on tomorrow at 7:30. It's going to be Alexa too, so it'll be myself, Blake.
Wow.
And I know. And
that's huge.
I'm sure Blake is going to be bitching and complaining about this kangaroo thing and saying, "What the hell is Steven doing on the season?" But Will, like you're saying, we're getting personality from kangaroo. We're getting personality from Steven. So whether you like Steven or don't, we're getting personality from him. Same with Savannah, same with Rizzo, same with Jawan, same with Sage. Same with Sophie Bellarity too. But Sophie Bellarity, it's made more sense, I feel like, the entire season because she was on the disaster tribe. That's good of this season because while we know who's on 50, I feel like this is the first time in a while that I don't have a great grasp on who's going to win. I felt like Kenzie was there. D was pretty obvious. Jam Jam was so obvious. Rachel, I felt like was pretty obvious when they didn't throw her under the bus early on in the pre-merge. And Kyle last season, I thought was a gimme once David went home. Because then it was just like, okay, who else is going to win from this season? It's got
to
be Kyle.
I think maybe 46 you're not giving as much credit to.
Charlie and Kenzie. I always leaned Kenzie over Charlie,
yeah,
though.
I don't know if it was so much in the bag. But yeah, no, I'm with you here. Like, I don't know if there is like a clear front runner. Like, I really don't think. Yeah. I don't think there is.
But, so let me run through this. And you know what? We'll talk through this more. But just to kind of give hot takes here, I'm gonna rule out Christina and Sophie Segretti because they both have a zero confessional. So we're going to get rid of them. Okay. Can Steven win?
I think Steven can win.
Can Jawan win?
I think Jawan can win.
Can Sage win?
I don't think Sage is the winner of Survivor 49.
Which is funny because I think right now she's the edgic front runner, but I kind of lean towards she doesn't either. But okay.
So I don't know if we would get so – like they are – the blackhead thing, and that is definitely a produced thing. I think they keep at like, can you make an analogy? Can you call Savannah a blackhead? Like, that'd be funny. And then they are probably prying at her, which they are doing live on the island. But then, like, choosing if that's what you're giving your winner, they like the winners to be viewed as like serious game players, really serious social. Like, they like their winners to be taken.
Marianne was even serious at times.
Yes, yes, you're taking them seriously. Most of the time, not that they can't be funny or lighthearted or do quirky things. And if it's one thing here or there and they get a little goofy, totally cool. The fact that they are like continuing, like even we're deep into this. There's 8 people left. Okay. I don't know if the winner they would just keep giving Blackhead bites to in the interview.
She feels like really fourth place to me.
Sure.
I feel like she might be somebody who just misses, who plays a good game, but ultimately just gets cut right before. Now, the three people in the other alliance, Sophie, Savannah, Rizzo, can they win?
Yeah.
So we're at final eight with six people, with five people who can definitely win, maybe six.
Yeah, I would say five, but yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's good. That's not good. How it felt in 48.
In 48,
it was Camilla or Kyle.
And I think, yeah, and it was like 90% Kyle, 10% Camilla. Yeah. I think this post-merge, if we did not know any, like if we didn't have 50, they really should not have cast anyone for 49 on 50, because you're just really screwing a whole season over. This post-merge has been really good. We've gotten to know a lot of the players, and a lot of them are playing to win, and a lot of them can win.
So now let me ask you about Christina tonight, because Christina had her biggest episode so far. We heard a lot from her. We hear her. We got a lot to talk about with Christina, so I'm going to mention it all, and I want to hear your thoughts on her. But Christina opens up the episode talking about how she can't believe that MC is gone. She was going to Final Three with MC. Later on in the episode, we see her give up her.
You love that thing. You really like harping on that.
It made no sense. We had not heard that, and they played together all season. So then we get the reward challenge where she gives up her reward for Jawan, so Jawan can get his reward. And then we get her telling Sophie Bellarity about the split vote. What is your take on Christina's episode tonight?
I think the game is moving around Christina and she's not fully aware of everything that's happening. The game's happening around her. I don't know if she's a full participant. And it's hard. I mean, this happens to like one or two people every season where there's just, they don't get the intel, or they don't fall in. They're not in people's plans. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on.
Corinne, I think, has a confessional like that in Gabon, and maybe I'm wrong, where she's like, all right, yeah, we know that. Come on, catch up. I forget who it is, but I feel like it might be Corinne. There's somebody they're getting information and they're going, oh my God, you just figured that out. Okay, we got a lot to tell you about. Like, and that's just what I feel like is going on with Christina. When she told Sophie Bellarity about the split vote, I was going, what the hell am I watching right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, no, it was surprising, but also, like, are you that surprised also? Because, like, I don't think we've seen much gamesmanship from Christina all season. And even I remember earlier in the pre-merge when everyone was like, have you noticed how hard Shannon is playing? Like, we have to, like, be careful of her, and she should probably be our target if we lose. And Christina's like, huh, really? I love Shannon. So it's like, even there was like, you're not seeing that other people are playing the game, and you're not aware of, I think, how fast the game is maybe moving.
Yeah, and Trav Herod says it was about Susie Smith. There we go. All right, come on, catch up. It's amazing. Corinne with an amazing confessional there. I was surprised. So she said that, and then giving up the reward, I feel like this was a true, real human moment from Christina.
I do too. I believe it was very
good survivor gameplay, right?
No.
Like, that's bad news.
That's another example of her, like, not really being fully there in the game sense of it all. I think she's there as a human. Absolutely. I think she's going on a real experience, making real connections. People probably love the hell out of her. But in terms of, like, playing the game of Survivor, we just haven't seen it from her yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. And I feel like tonight we might have seen the most gameplay from her and everything she did. I said, that's not right. That's incorrect, Christina. What are you doing? Stop that.
Bad move on the reward thing. I mean, maybe it's a good, I don't know. Does it get you a jury vote or two if you're at the end? I don't know. I don't think she's winning anyway. So maybe there aren't any good or bad moves, because I don't think Christina can win.
Yeah. Worth playing for. Hey, I'm late. Hi. Hi. If you're going to give us a super chat, hello. Hi.
Thank you. Worth playing for.
Showing up. Here's my thing too, though, is then when she gives that up, it's so based around Jawan now, because Jawan wanted to earn it. And instead he was given it. And he, but he said, you know what? I just got to be happy with this. We got the backstory montage for Juwan. We saw his family. We heard a lot about him. We hear him repeating his family members' names when he's in that immunity challenge as he's hanging on way longer than any he had any business doing. As people keep saying, I'm bailing on Juwan as a winner. I'm really not. I still think Juwan can win this game. I'm having a hard time seeing how Juwan and Sage are making the right moves right now, when Sophie and Rizzo and Savannah are keeping all their power. But at the same time, if it's Juwan and Sage and it's down to the two of them at the end, who do I think wins? I think it's Juwan. And I think Juwan's episode tonight was really, really good.
I think so too.
He said they're in the control.
Yeah, no, he keeps saying that. And that's why I do think the conversation about like whether they vote for Rizzo or not is so fascinating, because it seems like he does have a very good chance to win. And I imagine there are many people ripping him online right now for, again, not taking the shot. But it could be the right move.
Agreed.
Could be.
It could be. It could be. It could be. It could be. I feel like Juwan's edit has been there this whole season. And tonight he said, Sage and I are making the decisions. And he says, I'm kind of in this, you know, king position. And then he doesn't go home in that episode. And his name never comes up in that episode. Normally, that's when you go home in Survivor.
Yeah, or at least, yeah. Once they started going to Tribal Council, I was like, wait, that's it. We're already going to Tribal Council.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. Because the episode went by, I don't know, maybe it went by faster for me than other people. I don't know. but, like, I'm like, this is not a whole lot of intel. And you're right. When Juwan kept saying, I'm in the power position, I was waiting for the... and they like follow the camera, two people down the path. All right, this is what we have to do. Juwan and Sage are calling out the shots here. Do we take the shot or is it too late? I was expecting one or two more scenes to kind of put another option in the mix and maybe cancel one of the options we had, but it was still nice. We went into Tribal with this, is it Rizzo? Is it Alex? Is it an outside chance of Sophie maybe? Sophie never really felt that real, but no. So yeah, it's going to be Rizzo or Alex, depending on whether he plays his idol or not. And honestly, he didn't play his idol and he's still around.
And Captain Obvious says Juwan's not in control. Rizzo's in control of Juwan. I don't necessarily disagree with that, but if Juwan wanted Rizzo out of the game, I feel like he could have voted Rizzo out of the game by now. So
that's why I think that, yeah, it, that's why, and I think it really, this has to do with what we're being told and what the edit is telling. And that's why I brought up earlier how much credit the show is giving Rizzo for throwing Alex's name out there. We don't know if Juwan and Sage, way before Rizzo started to do anything, was like, yo, Alex is kind of shady. Like, we need to watch out for Alex. He's going to be a threat. And then, you know, we see Rizzo drop some info on Juwan that is complete BS, and then it looks like Juwan bought it hook, line, and sinker. We don't really know that. So it kind of goes both ways. I think Juwan has had more of the power to take out Rizzo than Rizzo's had the power to take out Juwan, absolutely. But from what we've seen these past two episodes, perhaps Rizzo is the one not in control or power of taking the other person out, but more persuasive in getting them to write down the name they want to write down.
Although tonight Sage said she wanted Alex out first, and that did happen. Because prior to this, Sage had kept saying this person.
Maybe Sage is running circles around both of them.
At this point, I think what another fair question to ask is, and one we haven't touched on in this episode is, at this point, do Rizzo, Savannah, and Sophie see Juwan or Sage as threats? Because that also could be impacting how they're looking to play this game. Who do Savannah, Sophie, and Rizzo see as threats? Now, what worries me is numerous times tonight we heard Sophie or Savannah say, we could be the final three. We could be the final three. This is how we become the final three. This is how we get to the end. I don't know if that's foreshadowing and telling us and really telegraphing it, but who are they seeing as the threats? If they're voting next week, we go into Tribal Council. One person has immunity. They have the extra vote. They have Rizzo's idol. Sophie looks like she's going to tell about the knowledge is power next week, because we see the big reaction in Savannah saying, or something happened on that hammock. It seems like she might tell her. Who do they think is the biggest threat that they would vote out next week? That was a very Frankenstein sound right there. My goodness.
Who's the biggest threat? That's why it's wide open.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they're all perceiving each other. I will say, I don't think it's Sage.
And I don't think it's Juwan. I think it's probably Steven to them right now. Which is why I can't really say that Juwan and Sage have made the wrong move tonight.
Yeah, it could be Steven. And maybe that's what it is. It's setting up Steven as the fall next week, and we really got to fall in love with him tonight. I don't want to rip Steven. The kangaroo thing, space thing was bad. I thought everything else was great.
Yeah. And then we go ahead, finish.
Yeah, no, I just think we got a lot from him. And you know, I think the space facts at the immunity challenge was a lot of fun. It is also just as fun to see Jeff basically say, all right, Steven, enough. I love you. We got to get back to
we're over this
the challenge. Well, also, I think from an editing perspective, too, I think if he's talking the entire time and you don't get other conversations and you don't get Jeff having announcements, it really makes it harder to edit, or at least you're not getting all those beats that you really want. And it's Jeff's probably like, yeah, we gotta like maybe take this a little bit more seriously too. But I did think he said something so resonated with me. And when he described the imposter syndrome, and not that like I've really had that many times in my life, maybe a couple times, but really how he said, you know, winning this has like freed me, like it's given me confidence that like I belong to be here. Mm-hmm. And then this is the part that really resonated with me. I guess he didn't say it. He more acted. And it seemed like from there on out, he kind of just was blabbering and being really silly and really fun. And almost like he had won over something in his head that like we got to fully unlock Steven. I think I have been in those scenarios before where maybe you don't know everybody so well or people are strangers. And then once you feel comfortable around people, you start being, you know, fully yourself. And then when you start being full of yourself, it's like, all right, wait, maybe dial it back a little bit. And I feel like I've like looked back and like, maybe I didn't know those people that well. Maybe I was a little bit too silly, or, you know, something to that where like, oh, I should probably maybe not said that. Or I don't know. I think
it's the reason why I don't sleep at night, Will.
Yeah. I just think it was
literally,
funny for him to describe the whole experience as like, I like now belong to me. I feel confident. And then he just starts rambling on the mat. And it's like, we're vibing with him. Go Steven. Then at some point you're like, oh no, this has gone off the tracks here. And I love, it was very vulnerable, but it was very, I could very much relate to that moment specifically. Mm-hmm. So kudos Steven for the win. Kudos for just letting go after that. And then even later, this is earlier in the episode. We get an entire montage of Steven and Chicken Talk. So yeah, there was a lot of focus on Steven tonight.
Yeah. And then, so I agree with that. And the other question I want to ask, because we focus so much on where Rizzo would stand of what would his decisions be towards the end. Do you think Sophie and Savannah want to go to the end?
With each other?
Rizzo.
I don't know. I think at some point they need each other right now, because they have been on the bottom and they've been fighting for numbers, and they also have all these advantages. But hey, once these advantages start coming out at Tribals, you start making big moves in front of the jury, you start building up that resume, we might start to see a little bit of a Kyle and Camilla situation where it's like the only way we can win is if we don't sit next to each other. And maybe they aren't as blunt about it and upfront and being like, this is what we got to do. Maybe it's more a blindside. I mean, we've seen that enough, right? We've seen Jesse blindside Cody. We've seen it a number of times where you got to take out your closest allies at the end because you think they can beat you. And so I don't know if we're there yet. They're so on the bottom, and they have all these kind of toys to spend, or money to spend, I guess. And once that's spent, I don't need Sophie for her knowledge of power anymore. I don't need Savannah for extra vote. I don't need Rizzo for his idol. Like, can we start to see this threesome maybe start looking inward and saying, wow, there's some threats here. We got to take, you know, take at least one of them out, maybe two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're Juwan and Sage, you're saying, let's just get to the point where they start to realize they got to take each other out. So yeah, people want to know about the Philly and Willie here. So Philly is best player of the episode, which I always like. Who was the best one tonight? Man, you know, this is tough because it's like, is it just Rizzo again? But like you're saying right now, it's like, you know, maybe you got to take people out, whatever. Like, is it just Rizzo again because he didn't play his idol?
Well, not only did he not play his idol, from the narrative we were told, is that he put the vote on to Alex and Alex went home. Like, he was kind of given credit for that, even though I'm kind of suspect of it based on the reactions of Alex being like, everyone caught me. Everyone's See, like, yeah, we did.
This is the episode where Rizzo wins it. He'll get the Philly here. However, if we get to the end of the season and Juwan or Sage win, we got to come back to episode 9 and give the
Philly. Can you retroactively switch a Philly? I don't think that's allowed.
I don't think it's allowed either, but like,
that's against the bylaws of Philly and Willie.
We're kind of just throwing them out and acting like Juwan and Sage couldn't have made the best move tonight. And it very well may have been. But I'll give it to Rizzo.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
I don't know who else could get it.
Okay, here's my thing. If Sage or Juwan end up winning the season, I still think the better move was still to take out Rizzo. Like, if Juwan wins, I think it's probably in spite of this move. Whereas if he were to make this move and Rizzo goes home and doesn't have an idol, I think he then is maybe winning it even easier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many. It's a butterfly effect, obviously. But, like, I don't know. I would give it to Rizzo.
All right, Rizzo gets it.
Yeah. Okay. I think I got to give it to Christina. Right?
It's weird because she voted wrong and she made all these wrong decisions. It's funny that in her breakout episode, where she's all of a sudden, we're hearing from her like crazy, I agree with you, she played poorly.
Yeah. And I don't know, and like you just said, like Juwan and Sage might have made a winning move. It's hard for me to fully get there. I mean, if they win, is it a win? I don't believe that if you win a Survivor season, every little single thing you did is a winning move. Like, oh, you losing that challenge actually was a winning move because you ended up winning. Oh, that grain of rice that you left in the pot, that was a winning move. Like, we're not going to do that. So,
no, of course, yeah.
But I don't think it's a losing move either. So I don't know if I can give it to Sage or Juwan being like, you guys really missed your shot again, even though that's kind of what I believe. You make some good points. They're still in pretty good graces with Savannah and Rizzo. And maybe they aren't as threatening as Steven if they are going to use their advantages next week. And maybe that's a good thing. So, yeah. I think Christina gets it just for – it wasn't one bad thing. It was like a few bad things. Like
spilling, I agree with that.
Spilling the split vote and then offering up your reward to unnecessarily draw attention to yourself and make yourself a like. There's just, and then not even, and then giving up the reward and it's like not eating. Like, you want food? I know it was a nice human thing to do, but you're playing a game for $1 million.
Were you surprised that Christina didn't ultimately end up going home tonight or getting it turned on her because of how much we heard from her and because everything she was saying, like you're saying right now, kind of came out as wrong? Were you surprised it never got flipped on her?
Not really, because
I was surprised. I felt like she was getting so much.
I never thought it was flipping on her because I think they're building her up as a knowledge is power, like loser. And look, knowledge is power. We've never seen it work successfully yet.
That is always the thing, right? We always say you haven't seen it work successfully. And then what does Will say? Well, you don't know that it's not successful. It's not just results-based. That's where Will's not results-based because it's actually doing exactly what we want it to do.
Well, work for who? We haven't seen it work for the people who have decided to use it as yes, an advantage. We've seen people know of its existence and then move the idol into other hands so that they don't have to give up the idol or advantage. And then when I say it doesn't work, that's one way. But then you say, you ask Jeff or production, did it work? And they say that 100% worked. That gave us a great moment in 41. It gave us perhaps one of the best moves in Survivor history in 43. And we'll see what it gets for us here.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious. I feel like it's still written on the wall that she's going to get it stolen from her by Sophie. But what's going to be the impact if that happens, right? Because Rizzo still has his idol. Savannah has her extra vote. Sophie steals the idol from Christine, and now Christina can't use that idol. But they don't need two idols at the next tribal council. They might not need an idol the rest of the game. Does Sophie stealing that actually make her a bigger threat? Because by her stealing that, now it's like, oh crap!
I don't know.
Big move.
Yeah, but you want to do it. You want the big move for the resume. You want to have the idol out of your enemy's hands so they can't use it against you. And you also want it for your own protection that, you know, if you do feel dicey going to vote, you can buy that extra free week.
But what I'm saying now is if you're Sophie or Rizzo, are you saying, oh crap, she made that move. That impresses the jury. This happens at tribal council.
If you're Savannah or Rizzo?
Yeah, now maybe we should vote Sophie out.
Yeah, potentially. I just said once they've used and exhausted these advantages, they're going to be looking around like, damn, we are the most threatening people left in the game are my allies. And I think that's where this season probably ends in a fairly compelling way. Like I have very high prospects for where we're going. And I do think the last three episodes have all been really good. I think, again, they've been hurt by 50 just in a little bit of the suspense of the votes at tribal council. But in terms of like week to week, good characters, interesting gameplay, I think the challenges have been fun. Like, I think the season's really picking up.
Yeah, and people in the chat are mentioning it was used successfully in Australian Survivor. That doesn't count, man. Doesn't count. We're talking U.S. Survivor.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, we like now I've even watched all the Australian Survivor seasons and it still doesn't count. I don't care. Like, I'm talking, it hasn't been used right in U.S. Survivor, the thing that invented it.
Yeah. What? Yeah, that'd be like, well, yeah, in Survivor Serbia, they did. It's like, well, who's like, we're podcasting about the U.S. version of Survivor. Never seen it work.
In terms of prop bets, Alex had a hit immunity idol, made the jury 10 or more confessionals in a single episode, went on a journey confessional in every episode, 40 or more confessionals in the season, and he had an episode title. I don't know if he had a blurred mouth. If somebody can send me a screenshot of a blurred mouth, that would help. Otherwise, I'll have to figure that out as I continue.
Well, now you're asking for somebody to just blur his mouth.
Yeah, I mean, that's true too. Whatever. Steven won immunity. Rizzo had another episode title. He's been crushing it with those. And we had Jawan and Rizzo both crossed over to 40 or more confessionals on the season. So
have you been seeing the time confessional count, which is just way better? It usually doesn't come out until the next day. But I feel like maybe for the prop bet game, we go based on time and not count, because is so like, when does it, is there a 10 second gap, then it starts again, but then there's so much content.
Here's why I worry about that though. What if the person who's doing it just stops doing it? With confessional count, we know that's been every season. The time thing is relatively new, and I worry like that person disappears and then we're screwed.
Wait, but someone's you're not counting them, are you?
For what, confessionals?
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying, though. Like,
but someone else is counting them. So you're already relying on someone else, and that person could stop.
No. Okay. Don't get angry here. I just literally said what it was, and then you attacked me. No, I'm just kidding. I had a scream attack.
No, I'm just confused. Is your reason you don't want to use time?
What I'm saying is when
the person might stop doing it.
No. Confessional counts have been going on since day one, like season one, and people have been like, there's multiple people who will track that.
Okay.
In terms of the time thing, I think that's really brand. That's only been a couple seasons.
I doubt the person stops. I think you can't argue.
I mean, it's a better way of tracking.
It's a way better metric. And it's just way more like looking at, there's, you don't need to take into context of the scene and music and the inner cuts and whatever. Like, there's just, you can just kind of, yeah. I'm trying to think of like a sports analogy of the stat. It's like war. It's like the war.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's like when they decided QB rating wasn't as good as QBR or whatever it was.
No, there's passer rating and then there's QBR. That's what it was,
yeah. QBR is better, they decided. And,
then there's plus minus, real plus minus. But then you have your counting stats, you have your averages. Yeah, I think time is, you know, and as sports evolve, you usually get better at figuring out how to measure impact and influence. And the timing of confessionals makes a lot of sense. Makes more sense than the count.
Let's see what it was for 48, just out of curiosity, now that you brought it up, because it's like, is it actually a better method, right? Kyle with 29 minutes was 6 minutes more than anybody else on the season. So, yeah, I guess.
But better method for what? Like, better, like, if you're going to compare it to counts, and I wonder, like, if you read the rankings side by side, are they...
Is it the same anyway?
Is it the same? I don't know.
Survivor 48 confessional. I think this is fun.
Yeah. I mean, I know you love it, but I think I would actually get more on board the confessional train with it if we start using time metrics.
Kyle, Eva, Camilla, Joe. Yep. Right. So far, it's the same order. Shaheen. Yep. And then Mitch barely beating out. Oh, no. Say beat out Mitch, but Mitch had more time, but they were two confessionals apart. So, yeah, dude, it's almost the exact same right down the line.
Interesting.
It is interesting. It is interesting. Anyway, you got anything else? Where's that comment? This one makes me laugh. Patrick Stahl, Phil teleported back to Jersey for a second. You like that? I had to make sure Will I wanted everybody to know Will attacked me. Anyway. Nick Snyder, like, pay attention to our episode. Who got the Willie tonight? Will said it 12 times. Pay attention to the episode. You've been asking for it nonstop in the chat. Pay attention.
I'm not going to re-say it.
Yeah, no, you got to listen. You got to listen. Anyway, tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, me, Blake, and Alexa, we will be live at 7:30 p.m. And then on Monday night, I got Troy Zan. That'll be at 5. So it won't be this weekend. It'll be next Monday. I don't know who Tegwith has this week. I have to talk to her. She's going to have somebody, I think, on Tuesday. I'm a cyber bully, says Nick Snyder. So anyway, that's it. Become a patron, patreon.com/specialist. Oh, wait, Will, actually, before we sign off, and I know this has been going long, what do you think about the 50 news that it's a 3-hour premiere and that we're getting 10 episodes in the buildup? You didn't know, did you?
I know. No, I did know. I didn't feel that much of anything.
That's crazy. I love that they're doing the 3 hours, because I feel like that means everybody we're seeing, we will actually see. Like, they're gone. We're gonna, Colby but goes someone, home first.
Someone's going home at the end of the second hour, right?
For sure. But I still think that means that, like, whoever goes home first, we're still gonna get plenty of time of that.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for the 3-hour premiere. I know sometimes we do the traders. And they do 3 hours or three episodes
to start
on the first night to get the hype going. And man, we watch that trying to recap it, and we're like, oh man, this and that, those things drag on. They do so much like world building and like going through the castle hallways with the music. And we're like, oh my God, can we please get through this? I don't think Survivor has that issue, especially on 50 with some of these returning castaways. So I'm pumped for the 3 hours. The 10 episodes, you know, I've been watching Survivor on a streaming service for so long now, I kind of forget the, like, turn on your TV, right at 8 p.m. live. Now, I still watch it live, but, like, turn it on and, like, this is the night. And so, you know, it's like, I hear that those 10 episodes, and I think it's cool that they're doing it, but it just doesn't register or doesn't hit as hard with me. So it's like, yeah, I mean, those, whatever 10 episodes those are, they're already on Paramount Plus. Yeah. Like, they're already available to everybody, and it's cool they're going to re-air them. But
I like that it's communal, right? It feels communal where it's like, oh, the Survivor community. Look, right now we're watching Karamoan. Philippines is coming out, Karamoan. That's what we're watching, but that's what we're watching. On those nights, it's like, if you're a diehard Survivor fan, we're all tuning in to watch that episode at the same time. I feel like it's a fun, little experiment. I'm not mad about it.
Sure. No, I'm not mad about it. I guess also too, you know, we have done so many 50 podcasts once it was first announced, and there was talk of this year-long celebration of the franchise, and we had posited so many ideas of what are they going to do. They're going to do a traveling tour, and they're going to bring survivors all over the country, and you're going to meet them. There's going to be pop-ups, and there's going to be parties. There's going to be events. There's going to be giveaways. There's going to be buffs raining from the sky. You just have to walk outside, and Survivors 50 celebration is going on. Tegwith and I actually did an entire podcast about ways that we could still, or better ways that Survivor 50 could have been celebrated in the year leading up to it. That's where we have our tech talks, and we have our elevator pitch. We come up with ideas for the show. And we had all these grand ideas for ways you could celebrate 50 in like simply re-airing 10 episodes that are already available on the streaming service that I already watched Survivor on anyway. Like, to me, that doesn't really move the needle, and it doesn't really quite excite me.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think it'll be fun.
I think it's cool. I think it's nice. It's just like, again, man, like year-long celebration of the show, and now like, we're going to re-air 10 episodes that everyone already has access to. And I get the communal thing. It's just like, that's really the answer. That's the year-long celebration. That's what we're getting. And I think that, to me, like, it feels like a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah. I mean, if you're looking at it, this isn't a year-long celebration. If you're looking at it as like, oh, it's cool, they're airing 10 episodes. That's how I'm looking at it.
Right. But it feels
they already like dropped the ball so bad on the year-long celebration.
This like, feels like this, that is the part of the year-long celebration. Cause it's like all we've gotten. You've gotten that in a Survivor cafe in Boston, which I tried going to, and it was closed.
So Will's really extra bitter about the celebration because he went to the damn thing in Boston and wasn't even there. All right. Anyway, that's it, guys. I hope you all enjoyed this episode. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel. I'll see you all tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. That's it. Become a patron. Patreon.com.
See ya.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.